good afternoon. My name is Regina, the other session. It's a little bit harder after you've eaten to focus on the breath. Your mind might tend to fall asleep. But don't let it, okay? So we're just going to watch the breath. Relax the mind. Keep the mind bright and alert. Okay, so a relaxed mind is not dull. Okay, it's not sleepy, it's not spaced out. But it can be very bright and alert and clear at the same time. So we'll spend a few minutes watching our breath, letting our mind calm down, and then we'll go into the talk.
Feel yourself not as an individual, independent unit, but as something that is interconnected, interrelated with all other human beings. And let's see that everybody is just like us, wanting happiness, not wanting misery. And so to open our hearts to them, wishing them well, and developing the intention to be able to benefit. To benefit others is by increasing our own capability and our own talents, our wisdom, our compassion, our skillfulness. And so we develop the intention to do that so that we may be more capable of being of long-term and effective benefit to all other human beings. And our activity of being together and sharing the afternoon is one step in that direction. But that's the direction that we want to go in and that we are going in. And then slowly open your eyes. The question before lunch was, how do we purify the mistaken arguments that we've got? And how do we cleanse our mind from these karmic imprints, these imprints that obscure our potential and that are the seeds that ripen into potentially negative or unpleasant experiences that we would like to avoid? So we've done the action already in the past. We can't undo it. Okay, there's no time machine to go back and redo things. So what we want to do is apply a counteractive force to it so that these potentials of our mistaken actions don't ripen into their results. So there's this process of what's called the four permanent powers. So I outline that as, you know, first one's regret, then restoring the relationship, third one is the media power, and then the fourth is the determination to avoid it, doing the action again. Okay? So let's go back to that first one, regret. So the regret is the most important, because regret means that we acknowledge that we did a mistake in action. And just getting to that point is a very big step for many of us, because many times in situations with other people, we are fully convinced that we did absolutely nothing wrong, and it's entirely the other person's fault. And we are just sweet, innocent, undeserving victims of their rotten intentions. So when, you know, we see life like that, then we think we have nothing to purify. But if we look in our mind, what do you think? Is there something to purify? Seems like there's an awful lot of hatred in there, isn't there? Yeah, or resentment, or holding a grudge, ill will, wishing somebody harm. And then if we look at the exact situation that it was with somebody else, is it really entirely their fault? Are they so powerful that they can do everything without us contributing at all? So, you know what I find is so interesting about us is the things that that are our responsibility, we don't take responsibility for. And things that are not our responsibility, we take responsibility for. Okay. For example, things that are a responsibility that we don't take responsibility for, we have a quarrel with somebody, and we take no responsibility. Oh, I didn't say anything to alarm that other person. No. I didn't want to have a fight. Inside of mine is like, oh, I'm so glad I got. You know? So it is that we did maybe have a negative motivation, or we were, you know, upset with somebody. We said all sorts of maybe rude things or painful things, harsh speech, but we just don't own it at all, and we say it's all their fault. So, you know, our harsh speech, our anger, our resentment is our responsibility, but we put it all, we don't take responsibility for it, we put it on the other person. Okay. Then, what is not a responsibility, we take responsibility for. Okay. So, for example, your child gets sick, and you go, oh, I'm such an awful parent, my kid got sick. Is there any way you can prevent your kid from getting sick their entire life? No. Okay. Or somebody misinterpreted your words and you know, you go, oh, I'm so awful, I should have known, you know, when you had actually, you know, sincerely no idea that that was going to upset them. So it's very strange if we look at our lives how we get this whole thing about responsibility very confused. But in any case, in purification practice, the first thing is to, you know, take that responsibility and have regret for our mistaken actions. Now, regret is very different than guilt. Repeat. Regret is very different than guilt. How many of you suffer from guilt? There's a few hands that can throw up. How many of you aren't telling the truth? You should feel guilty. Okay. Yeah, there's a big difference between regret and guilt. And I like to use this analogy to illustrate that that difference. You know how there's the stoves, the electric stoves, and you turn them off and it's still hot and it's very easy to burn yourself on them? If you burn yourself on a stove like that, do you feel regret? Yeah. I feel regret. I don't want to get burned. Do you feel guilty? No. Okay? So you can look and say, oh, I put my hand on the stove. That wasn't too smart. Yeah, but you don't feel guilty about it. So what is there in guilt that there isn't in regret?
Blame.
Blame. And? What do we, what's our self-talk when we feel guilty? Poor pity me. I did such a horrible thing. Can you imagine I did this? My goodness, if anybody else ever knew about what I did, I would have no friends. I really am a horrible person. It's a miracle I can't force it all. I always bungle everything. Everything I try to do, I just make such a mess of it. And, you know, I'm not very worthwhile inside. Nobody's ever loved me. I don't love myself. I'm really kind of a disaster. Not kind of a disaster. I am a disaster. And everything go wrong, and I'm just really a horrible person. How could I have possibly done this? Is that the kind of self-talk when you feel? Who's the star of the show? Who's guilt about? Guilt is about all about me, isn't it? Guilt is about me. I'm so bad. I'm so terrible. I'm so powerful I can make everything go wrong. Me, 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 me. You know, guilt just spirals around me. It doesn't get us anywhere. It's totally self-absorbed, isn't it? And we can stay in there. I stay in there guilt for a long time. Just feeling really lousy about ourselves, waiting for somebody else to come and redeem us or tell us we're okay, which they never do. Or they never do enough of. Whereas regret is an entirely different thing. Regret is like looking and saying, boy, I had a rotten motivation. I did something really not very nice, and I regret it. I regret that I hurt somebody else. I regret that I put this negative energy, the harmful karma, in my own mind, and I want to clean it up. Okay? Regret doesn't have the whole pity party with it. It doesn't have the guilt galore with it. Okay? So we've really got to learn in our own mind to separate the regret from the guilt and not confuse them. They're really quite different. Okay? So to be able to develop the sensitivity in our own mind so that we can discriminate when there's regret and discriminate when there's guilt. And we find that there's guilt, we then switch it over to regret. Okay? But regret is important because unless we can acknowledge our mistakes, you know, doing any kind of purification doesn't make any sense. Okay, so that's why regret comes first. Then the others often, they come in various different orders. Okay, but I like to do it with the next one is repairing the relationship. That's not the literal translation of it, but what it means is when we have done destructive actions, we have, you know, gone beyond the boundary in a relationship and made some kind of mess. And sometimes the mess is between us and the other person, and they know it. Sometimes the mess is just in our mind. Okay? So the other person may not actually be aware of what we were thinking or so on and so forth. But in our own mind, we have a negative intention towards them. So what we want to do here is to restore the relationship, most importantly in our own mind, and then if we can do it with the other person, we do it with them as well, but most importantly in our own mind. when we do harmful actions, it's usually against one of two groups. Either holy beings, you know, the spiritual mentors, or, you know, in Buddhism we talk of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and, you know, other religions they talk of saints or holy beings or whatever. Okay, so either amongst the holy beings, or we find other ordinary sentient beings like us. Okay? So somehow we've developed a negative motivation, negative attitude towards them. So towards the holy beings, if we, you know, have a negative attitude, the way to repair that is to instead take refuge in them. In other words, go to them for our spiritual guidance and, you know, have an attitude of trust and confidence in them. If it's other sentient beings that we've acted harmfully towards, then we have to fix our mental attitude there and generate one of love and compassion. Love means the wish for somebody to have happiness in its causes. Compassion is the wish for them to be free of suffering in its causes. Okay? So it's restoring the relationship because we're generating the exact opposite attitude from the one that we did that was harmful. Okay? Because when we harm the holy beings, you know, we had a, you know, one of disrespect, so we were developing respect and confidence in them. With sentient beings, we either had resentment or, you know, hatred or clinging or something, you know, manipulation. And so instead, we're developing another motivation, one of love and compassion. Okay, so that restores the relationship primarily in terms of our own mind, which is the important thing. And sometimes we have to really do some work to transform our feeling about somebody else. Yeah? So, you know, if we take a situation maybe where we said something really horrible and painful to somebody else, if we hold on to our anger, there's, we don't want to purify. You know, I'm glad I said that. You know, give them a taste of their own medicine. They deserve it. Maybe they'll grow up and learn from it. You know, this kind of way of thinking. So if we think like that, I mean, there's no love and compassion. So sometimes we really have to work on our mind to loosen the negativity we feel towards somebody. And then if that person is still alive, and if the situation permits it, we can also go and apologize to them. Sometimes that's not always, you know, it's not always possible to do that. Sometimes the person that we've harmed is dead, you know, in which case we can't go and apologize to them, but at least in our mind when we generate a different kind of attitude, you know, and we can think of them and mentally apologize to them. Or sometimes the dynamic with the other person we harmed is such that they're not ready to see us again. Okay? And in that case we need to respect that. And, you know, transform our own mind and give them space to heal enough so that we can go and see them and apologize. So it depends a lot on the situation. Okay? Lots of times we need to apologize, the other person is ready, but we invent an excuse not to do it. What is it we think that keeps us from apologizing? Pride, isn't it? I don't want to admit that I did something wrong. But in actual fact, when we can admit that we did something wrong, we actually do become stronger. Now, it doesn't mean somebody's going to trample on us because we made a mistake. Because okay? Remember, if you apologize, and if you feel guilty when you apologize, then your mind is such that the other person can manipulate you because your mind is manipulatable. But if you clear that stuff in your own mind and, you know, I made a mistake and with my integrity I'm apologizing, then, you know, the other person will sense that. It's doubtful that they'll try and do something to retaliate. But even if they did, you're not going to buy into it because your own mind is clear. You have regret instead of guilt. So that's the second one, restoring the relationship. Then the third of the four-component powers is some kind of remedial action. So this might be a spiritual action during some kind of dhamma practice. So you might meditate on loving compassion, or you make offerings, either to, you know, the Buddha Dharma Sangha, to a monastery, to a Dharma center, to a charity of some sort, okay? So making offerings and being generous is a very good counteractive measure. Or you might offer service, you know, do some volunteer work in the community, or do volunteer work at a monastery or a center or someplace like that. Or you might meditate on the ultimate nature, or, you know, publish Dharma books to give out to people for free, or some kind of, you know, positive action where you're actually putting your energy into doing something constructive, okay, with a good motivation. So that's the third step of an remedial action. And then the fourth step is making a determination to avoid the action again. Okay. So this, of course, depends on the regret. So you have to regret it to get yourself to a point where you want to avoid it again. Okay. Sometimes, you know, we're not quite so sure we want to avoid it again. But yeah, you know, you have an extramarital affair, and things get a little mindful, sticky in your marriage. And so, okay, you know, regret, purification. If you really want to do it again, if I can get away with it, maybe I will. So, you know, the purification isn't really complete unless we can really see, you know, the harmfulness of our action and have a sincere determination to avoid doing it again. Now, sometimes, some actions we may really wish that we don't do them again, but we can see that our mind is uncontrolled, you know, quite uncontrolled, and we can't truthfully say that. So let's say gossiping about somebody. If we said, I am never going to gossip again, do you think you could say that truthfully? It would be nice if we could, but can we? We gossip a lot, don't we? So maybe it's better in that case to say, for the next week, I will not gossip. Or for the next 2 days. Or give ourselves some period of time when we can really focus very strongly, you know, on not doing it again. And then in that way build up some confidence that it's possible to avoid it, avoid doing it for an even longer period of time. Okay? So we do those four opponent powers, and then that, you know, what it does is it can't undo the action, but it prevents the conditions coming together for that action to ripen. So in that way, either that karmic seed doesn't ripen, or if we haven't purified it, you know, very well, it may ripen, but in a lesser suffering rather than a bigger one, or for a suffering that lasts for a shorter time rather than a longer time, or it may ripen later rather than sooner, giving us more time to be able to do purification. Yeah. But one of the effects, you know, there's several effects that you'll actually experience when you do purification, and one of them is you feel much more lighthearted. Yeah. Because we aren't carrying around with us all this burden of the guilt and the remorse and the shame and the secrecy and all of this kind of stuff. So instead, you know, we've admitted it to ourselves. We can imagine the holy beings and admit it, you know, in their presence. You don't need to go and tell a human being if you don't want to. You can just imagine the holy beings and admit it in their presence. And in that way, we've kind of cleaned it up. Because I think what happens, you know how you meet people and as they age, they get really bitter? Yeah? And they get kind of stuck in their ways, and they're just kind of, you know, some kind of meanness that comes. I think that can happen because They've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But they haven't done any kind of purification process. They haven't made peace with their past. So if we haven't made peace with our past, then we continue on in our life with it. And I joke that maybe that's why we get bent over when we're old, because we're carrying so much weight of our mistaken actions on our back. Whereas if we're able to keep up with things in our life and, admit our mistakes and do this purification, then we settle things. And so we aren't carrying a lot of baggage around with us. And so especially when there's like really sticky relationships with people, which there are sometimes, especially with relatives, people you know you're going to see again. Yeah? So it's really good if we can keep on top of that and do some purification, because then that kind of cuts a lot of that sticky energy and a lot of our own mental confusion that arises when we're in the presence of certain people. So actually in Buddhist practice we do the purification on a daily, basis, because we do mistakes daily, don't we? So sometimes you might wait until the evening and review your day and do it. Or sometimes, in the middle of the day and we notice, boy, I said something, I really don't want to do that. Then you can just go through these in your mind at that very time. And over time, what we see when we do purification is we see real patterns. Yeah, we might have a pattern with our temper, might be yellers and screamers, or we might be withdrawn shutdowners, or we might be the people who have a lot of greed, and so we overcharge people, or cheat people, or manipulate people. But we might begin to see over a period of time that there's some actions that we do repeatedly that we see, we've got to get a handle on this. And so this purification process is very good for that, because you're regretting it and you're conscientiously making some kind of determination not to go in that direction. Okay?